All right, so let's learn. Parshas Pekudei. Unbelievable parsha. One of the greatest parshios in the Torah. I would say it's one of the 53 greatest parshios in the Torah. Is it 53? Why did you say 53? Say 54. Okay, that's not the topic of today's shiur. How many parshios are there in the Torah? It's not today's topic. Okay. How many psukim are in parshas Pekudei Boker Tov? How many psukim are in parshas Pekudei? So it's actually very interesting. 92 psukim. What's interesting about it is that in many chumashim, it tells you how many psukim are in the parsha. You know, like in the standard Mikros Gedolos Chumash, it always has like a hint. It says there are X number of psukim, and this is the remez to remember the number of psukim. Sometimes the remezim are a little abstract. What's interesting is that when you look in many chumashim for Parshas Pekudei, there's no siman. It doesn't say. And maybe that's part of the sod of Purim, that the number is concealed. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had a famous teaching. For those who have the Chayenus, it's written here. I think you can maybe even add a little bit to it if we can. The Rebbe says the following: If you look, sometimes it says, in some of the editions of the Chumash, it says, B'li kol simen, without any simen. Someone's like, why is there no simen for this parsha? The Rebbe said, no, B'li kol is the simen. B'li kol is Gematria 92. So in the early editions of the Chumash, it said, B'li kol simen, but then the editor's like, why do I have to write there's no simen? Just don't write anything. So they started writing nothing. But really, B'li kol was the simen. B'li kol is Gematria 92. I think the pshat, based on our shiur from yesterday, Tuesday. Based on our shiur about the Pintel Yid and Purim, about the Ginzei HaMelech, right, about Hashem's love for a Jew, about the Gemara Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel, that even when a person gets drunk, which is something that Hashem doesn't love, the Gemara says, Hashem still loves you, and how Achashverosh's party, Dafka at that moment, right? Dafka, as they're sinning, Vashti Malka is being removed to prepare the way for the Geula. I think the message of B'li Kol Simen as a Hachana to Purim means what? If you want to identify something, next year we're going to learn Bar Mitzvah Yirtzeh Hashem, right? So a lost object. You want to claim that this lost object is yours. What do you need? You need a Simen. You need to prove that it's yours. Right? So a Jew sometimes asks himself, what's the Simen that I'm a Yid? What's the proof that I'm a Jew? How do I prove? How do I prove my worthiness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's Hashem's response to us in Parshas Pekudei? B'li kol simen, without any simen, without anything. Right? You don't need a simen. You don't need to. The Jew doesn't need to do anything to prove that he's a yid. Right? Remember the Maisa, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Moshe Levi, the IDF soldier. You don't have to do anything. B'li kol, even without anything, a yid is still a yid. Okay, let's get back to our Seder Limud here. Okay, we'll start from the first piece on page Kuf Zayin. Eila Pekudei HaMishkan. Okay, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan. It's really Eila Fikudei HaMishkan. But I don't know who calls this week's Parsha's Fikudei. Right? But in the Chumash actually, it's Eila Fikudei HaMishkan. Okay, so Eila Fikudei HaMishkan, this is the, what's Pekudei? These are the accounts of the dwelling, right? Of the Mishkan. These are the accounts. We're adding up. We're about to cheshbon all of the things that were donated to the Mishkan, right? We're taking an accounting of all the donations. So says our Rebbe, we know that the word Eile always comes to discredit something. It's a Medrash. Medrash says, what's the difference between Eile and Ve'Eile? Ve'Eile always comes to what? To add on, and Eila comes to negate. So what's Eila Fekudei HaMishkan? What's being negated here? So says our Rebbe, Kol Makom Shunemar Eila, Pasal Eser Yishonim. That's the language of Chazal. Anytime you have the word Eila, Eila comes to negate that which came before. So what are we negating? So he says, HaMinyan VaHamifkar Azeh Shel HaMishkan, Pasal Ubitel Es HaKitrug, Shel Chet HaEgel, Shel Hayubo Minyan UMifkar. The Egel, Chazal tell us, was also precisely created. The measurements, the amount of gold that was donated to make the Egel, the Medrash makes a point to say that they donated Kuf Chaf Hei Kanterin, 125 talents of gold, which is the minion of the word Masecha, the Egal Masecha, this idol that they made. So look how they had a cheshbon, they had a calculation about how to make the Egal, right? Even though it seems like they threw it into the fire and it just came out, but there was some type of calculation as to how much gold we need to make the Egal. Everything was accounted for. So comes along the Torah and says, Eile fekudei mishkan. You should know that this calculation comes to negate. To negate what? To negate the fact that we donated also precisely for the Egal. So now we fix that by donating precisely for the Mishkan. So actually, I'm just remembering now, there's a Talmud Yerushalmi in Shkalim that says, I think it's in Shkalim, that says that the Jewish people were funny people. You do a collection for the Egel and people are happy to give. You do a collection for the Mishkan and people are happy to give. Right? We're a fickle people. Sometimes we're like, we go all in on the wrong causes, but we also go all in on the right causes. So that's what this Eil is coming to say. You should know Eil fukudei mishkan, in case you think that what we created with the Egel left such a permanent stain, Eil, this comes to negate through the precise collection of of donations for the Mishkan and incorporating them into the Mishkan, that comes to posel, to be pasel, to betel, to negate the claim against us of the Egel. Okay, Vayomer Od, continuing in the second paragraph, to say it a little bit differently. Eile fekudei ha-mishkan. Lios kol minyon ein bo simen bracha. However, we know, not a lot of count Jews. Counting something is actually very bad for a simen bracha. It's better to look away. When a person, right, simen bracha is found as something that is samoy min ha-ayin, the Gemara says, something that is concealed from the eye. Don't look so much, right? It's a big taiva sometimes for a person to, you know, person, Haman, it says that Haman had a precise calculation of all of his money on his heart, whatever that means. He kept his, you know, he's always checking his bank balance to make sure it's exactly like this or exactly like that. Better not to look. Right? If you don't look, Hashem will take care of it. Right? Don't be a person who's always looking, who's always trying to be in control. So again, the Gemara says, Kol minyan ein bo simen bracha. Right? The more you count something, the more you limit it by counting it. Right? You're not giving room for it to be bigger than it is. B'metzias, okay. But the Gemara, the pasuk is coming to say, "Shani minyan shel mishkan, shehochas lios b'minyan uvamifkan." The problem is when it comes to the mishkan, we're told to make accounting. You hear? We're told not to count Jews. It's very bad. It could cause a plague, like we learned a couple of parshiyos ago. Kisisa, don't count Jews. Count shkalim, right? But here we're saying, no, count everything precisely. But doesn't that undermine the blessing of the Mishkan? That's his kasha. Here we're told specifically, it's of necessity to count. Ki kol davar v'davar shabo merames la'oros el yonim, because every bit of the Mishkan alludes to some heavenly light. U'lemishkan ha'edos shomala. Every bit of the Mishkan had to be precisely created because it corresponds to the Mishkan above. So we need to make sure everything is exactly in place, that everything is accounted for, everything is precisely calculated. V'hochach kol davar lios b'mispar. There's a numerical equivalency that we're trying to create to link the Mishkan below and the Mishkan above. Al pi kavana b'li tosefes, without anything extra, everything precisely calculated. U'migras, nothing, God forbid, diminished or lacking. Merames l'rimzei achach b'bediktuk. Hinting to all sorts of deep intentions. Again, very bedikduk, very precise. V'adraba. And not only should you not be haphazard about the Mishkan, again, you should dafka be very precise. Al yidei ha-dikduk ha-rav ha-otzum, b'li tosefes u'megras, by being precise, by not adding or subtracting in any small measure, dafka by making the Mishkan exactly the way it's supposed to be, al yidei zeh sharsa bo ha-kedusha v'ha-brach el-yona. That's the ticket to bringing bracha upon the Mishkan. You hear? So in general, counting something, being too precise about something, takes away the bracha. Here by the Mishkan, we're saying what? Everything was becheshvind, everything was precise, everything was calculated. Each component was perfectly spiritually, numerically, mathematically aligned with the Mishkan above. V'adoneinu Moshe, she yod the makor kol davar v'davar, and Moshe Rabbeinu, being the mind of Klal Yisrael, the das of Klal Yisrael, who knew each component of the Mishkan. who Masar Lahem HaMisayres, he gave over the exact instructions, the tradition, right? The proper guidelines, Kedesha Tishra Kedusha HaElyona B'Malachtam, so that they would maximize the Kedusha in their efforts, in their work. So now we understand. Eile Fakudei HaMishkan. So you'll ask what? Eile comes to negate something. So what do you mean? What's being negated here? Right? Again, literally, these are the accounts of the Mishkan. But what's it? Eile always comes to discredit something. Pasul HaSarishon. So what's it discrediting? The answer is, Kol HaPakudim VaHaMinyanim Shebaolam, all other accounts, all other calculations in the world, Shal Yedei HaMinyanim, Mistalekes HaBrach. Usually counting something, being obsessive, again, over, you know, exactly what's going on here, making a precise calculation, that's very limiting, that's restricting. It takes away the blessing. Vikan, and here, this is different, right? Eila. This is, Eila comes to discredit. Everything else, you're right, by all other calculations, it's not a good thing. But this is different. Vikan adaraba, al yidei ha-minyan va-mifkad sharsa bracha. Here, precision makes it better. Umanishtana. Why is this pekida different? Why is this calculation? What's different about the Mishkan? The answer is, no, you have to understand. Because every detail of the Mishkan corresponds to the Mishkan above. Right? That every bit of our Mishkan, again, if I'm obsessive over what? Over my money, or exactly my clothing, or my home, everything has to be perfect, perfect, perfect. So that becomes very limiting. And it becomes very self-serving. But here, what I'm trying to do with my precision in the Mishkan, I'm trying to create a link between this world and the world above. So that the precision matters there. It's spiritually motivated, right? It's not me being obsessive over my possessions, or over my finances, or whatever it is. Here it's Mishkan Ha'edus. I'm trying to align the world below and the world above. Asher Pakad Al Pi Moshe, as the pasuk says. Right? Listen to the pasuk again. Eilef Akudei HaMishkan. These are the calculations of the Mishkan, which is Eilef. It's coming to discredit all other calculations. Why is this calculation different? Because it's Mishkan Ha'edus. Because it's aligning this world and the world above. The pasuk says Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe, and it was calculated by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was all with a spiritual intention. Asher pukad al pi Moshe, right? Or the pasuk says Asher pukad al pi Moshe. Shalom dam das mahu meramis kol minyan u'mifkad. Moshe taught them what every little bit of the cheshbon was about. Vizeh sheramzu b'medrash, and he concludes the piece. He says, and this is what's hinted to in the medrash when the parsha quotes a pasuk in Mishle at the medrash at the beginning of our parsha. The medrash says, Ish emunos rav brachos, a man of faith, brings much bracha. By the way, the end of that pasuk in Mishle is a very important mussar. You know what the end of that pasuk in Mishle is? But a person who's hasty to get rich will never succeed. Get rich quick schemes are too good to be true. A person of emuna, person who slowly is mishtadel, lives with Amuna and Hashem, he'll have success. A person who thinks he's going to beat the system, he's going to get rich quick, he's not going to have bracha. So says the pasuk, Ish emunos rav brachos, says the medrash on that pasuk, Atamotze kol mishu neman HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe brachos al yado. A person of Amuna, a person of faithfulness, Hashem brings bracha through his hand. Says the medrash, Ish emunos ze Moshe. Who's unfaithful, right? Who's the Roa Naman? Right? Who's the Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd? It's in Kabbalistic language, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he's called, the Raya Mehemna. Moshe is a faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, faithful to Klal Yisrael. What's the pshat in this medrash? Ish emunos rav brachos. A man of faith brings a lot of bracha. Says our Rebbe, the kavanaso, lamasha tirates. It's coming to answer our question. That Eila comes to discredit. Eila posel es kol ha-mufkodim she'ein bracha sh'olem. Usually counting takes away from something. It diminishes bracha. So why over here is there so much bracha by the Mishkan? Says the Medrash, that's what the Medrash is hinting to. Al yedei ha-mifkad hazeh shahaya al yedei ish emunos. Because again, when a person is being precise about Moshe's being honest. Moshe's showing how every detail of the Mishkan matters. So that brings bracha. Right? That's not a person obsessing over his possessions. That's not a person who's counting his own earnings. Right? That's haman harasha. That's setting yourself up for a downfall. But when a person is spiritually motivated, and he does it with emunah, and Moshe's counting everything up because Moshe doesn't want to chas v'shalom be accused of stealing from the Mishkan, it's all l'shem shemayim. So that type of precision in our life brings tremendous bracha. That's the part. Ish emunah zeh Moshe ba bracha lol. That brings bracha to the world. Okay, Jordan, you had your hand up first.
This might just be my personal feelings about how this thing works, but to me this seems to be a little bit backwards to the sense of how we like do raffles for Elias and stuff like that and show people raising their hands and like being, first of all, being exact about what they're saying and also like kind of publicizing.
No, but we do that to, we're willing to do that to motivate, first of all, to raise money, tzedakah. And moreover, to do that in a public way that sometimes it creates a little bit of a peer pressure, which will generate more funds for whatever the cause is. So that's, again, could a person be doing that to flaunt their own wealth? It could be. It could be. Again, everything depends on what your kavanah is, as we'll see in a second. But again, if counting is something that we're so sensitive to, we're scared that it creates an ayin hara and it removes bracha, so why are we being so precise here? And the answer is because it's mishkan ha'edus. Right? When you're dealing with a spiritual matter, precision does matter. I want my lulav to be precise. I want my tefillin to be precise. Right? I want the words that I say in my shmona esrei to be precise. You realize the Rishonim have like calculations, and the Svarim HaKadosh have calculations of every word of shmona esrei. The number of words in the bracha and the gematria and how many times this word appears throughout. Everything is precise in the world of ruchnias. Precision is good in ruchnias. It brings bracha. Precision in gashmias is the false presentation of being in control of this world, and we're not. That's machshavas haman. That's haman's ideology of obsessive, you know, controlling type of, you know, mindset. Yeah. Could be. Maybe. I don't know.
I was going to say pretty much the opposite. Like, I think in England, Esrogim, people have always made fun, like, I've been around people that have made fun of people that are, like, examining the Esrogim, getting such an expensive Esrogim for, you know, 1 week in the year. And,
right.
But, like, there is an idea of spending money on mitzvahs.
Spending money on mitzvahs and also precision of mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Medrash says, my Esrogim corresponds to my heart. I want precision in my heart. No, I want my heart to function at maximum capacity. Okay, so people who care, you know, to serve Hashem with precision, all right, again, halacha is halacha. You don't have to be obsessive over it also. People have like an OCD in terms of halacha also. It can be very damaging and destructive. But yeah, to want to be precise and to be calculated in my ruchnias is a good thing. It brings bracha. Chavit Shabbos Kodesh. It brings bracha, yeah. Right, you're saying, why don't we count? Right, again, there's like this something specifically about counting Jews even for a good purpose, because again, there's something limiting about counting, and a Jew is limitless. A Jew is infinity. And we don't want to limit a Jew even in a holy purpose. But I hear what you're saying. Right, one could make the case that in that situation, again, we're counting the Shem Shemayim. Okay, but the Mishkan was unique in this way. Yeah.
Counting not one, not two, not three.
Yeah, why not?
Is it?
I don't know. Hashia Asamech Levarach Esna Chosacha. No, but you're not counting. You're not counting. It's different. Yeah. All right. There's a lot has been written about that sugi and halacha and how that even works and what that's about. Yeah.
Why does it say that like counting?
Because again, it's limiting. First of all, it brings ayin hara, it draws attention to something. Whenever we draw attention to something, then in Shemayim they scrutinize it, right, to see if it's worthy of the attention. But also, it's limiting. It's saying this is this to the exclusion of that. And when I don't look, when I don't know exactly what it is, so then it could be, you know, I can imagine it to be bigger, and Hashem makes it bigger. Hashem brings bracha upon it. Right? So that's why we're sensitive to that. Okay, Chaver, let's go to the next little piece in the left-hand column, middle piece, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. This is a phrase that appears many times in our parsha. Starting in Perek Lamed Tes, I think, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it's all over. Right? Every move in the Mishkan is Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Chaver, what's the pshat? So our Rebbe has a few pieces that he ties together on this. He says, B'chol Malacha U'Malacha, and it goes back to what we spoke about last week, stating the intention, explaining why I'm doing what I'm doing. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. But a little bit different. Let's see. B'chol Malachu Malacha, with each activity that was done in building the Mishkan, Nemar Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. It's a phrase that comes up again and again and again. As Hashem commanded Moshe. Why so many times? Lahoros, to teach us. Shechashashu pen yechzru eiza kavana v'yichud. They were choshesh, they were concerned, lest they leave out a particular kavana, a particular yichud, right? A particular connection that was supposed to be forged, a spiritual state of mindfulness as they built something in the Mishkan. Hanitzrach l'cho malachu malacha. Again, every part of the Mishkan was precise, precisely crafted, precisely calculated, precisely, you know, meditated upon. So you know what they did as they built? Amru b'cho malacha kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. They said, you know what? And it's a good technique, by the way, when we do a mitzvah, right? We say, you know, Rabbanu Shalom, I'm going to try my best to do this mitzvah. Maybe it's a mitzvah I know very little about. Maybe it's a mitzvah that I've learned a lot about. But I know that there's more to this mitzvah than I know, right? It's like we say at the end of this Hinli Mechavin Manachas Tfilin, this Yiratzon by Tfilin, right? V'Yiratzon v'lfanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Hashem, I want you to treat my mitzvah of tefillin ki'ilu, as if ki'amtia b'chol prateh v'dikdukah. Right? Yeah? I want it to be as if, what? I did this mitzvah with all of its details and all of its kavanos. Right? Prateh, dikdukeh, kavanoseh. I want my mitzvah of tefillin, even though I don't know everything about tefillin. I know very little about tefillin. And even if I've been learning a lot about tefillin, I still know there's so much more to know about tefillin. But I hope that Hashem, you'll consider my mitzvah as if I did it with every prat and every dikduk halacha and every kavana, v'taryag mitzvos hatuyim ba'amein tzela. And I want to do it in such a way that this mitzvah, as every mitzvah is somehow woven and interwoven with the other 612 mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, I'm basically davening. Hashem, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm trying my best. Please accept this mitzvah as if I were tefillin like the Baal Shem Tov, you know, like Rashbi. Accept it as if I really knew what I was doing. Because I don't. But I'm doing a mitzvah, because you said so. And I want you to know that I want it to be seen in your eyes as if I did the mitzvah perfect, with unbelievable precision. So these builders, they say, listen, Moshe gave us a lot of instructions. He's overseeing the project. He's got all the right kavanas, but we don't know every kavana exactly that's needed for the Mishkan. So you know what they would do? They would say, as they perform the malacha, they would say, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. I'm doing this with the same mindfulness that Moshe Rabbeinu had when he was commanded by Hashem. I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. Sha'osim al das ha-mitzaveh. I'm doing it as having been commanded by Moshe, who was commanded by Hashem himself. Right? We've spoken about this many times. The importance of realizing that when I do a mitzvah, I should pause just for a second. If we could train ourselves to do this, we'd be such good Jews. If we would just pause for 1 second before we do a mitzvah and say, Rabbi Shalom, I'm doing this kasher, tziva Hashem, I'm doing this because you said so. And as you commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, because he knew a lot more than me. But I'm a link in that chain. I'm part of that chevra. I'm part of that tzibur. Okay? Skip the bottom paragraph just for a second. Turn the page for 1 second. Just look at the next little piece because it's connected. V'yasu b'nei Yisrael on kufches. And then we'll go back. We'll fill in the middle piece. V'yasu b'nei Yisrael v'chulu kein asu. Right? B'nei Yisrael did it. Kein asu. So they did. It's perek lamed tes. Pasuk lamed beis. What does that mean? B'nai Yisrael did, so they did? What does that mean? What are you trying to say with that? Vayasu b'nei Yisrael kachol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe kein asu. They did exactly what Hashem told them to do, so they did. Lamed tes lamed beis is the pasuk. Lamed tes lamed beis. What's the pshat? Hine kein asu miyutar. These are the words. Kein asu. You just told me they did everything Hashem told you. So they did. What do you need? This, what do you need the extra? So they did. Ach zachor tizkor masher kasev le'el. But remember what we wrote above. Shekol osei hamishkan chashashu. Pen yachzru eiza kavana. That anyone who was making the mishkan knew that precision matters. And they were scared that what if I don't have the right kavana? What if I throw off the whole calculation of the building? Va'asu akol kasher tziva. And therefore they did everything what? They did everything as kasher tziva Hashem. They said, Hashem, we don't know exactly how to do this, but you do, so please help us. Al das hametzava adon ha'olam. We're doing it with the most simple and yet, in a certain sense, holiest kavana, which is what? I'm doing Ratzon Hashem. Hashem, you told me to do it, and I'm doing it. Val das hametzava adonenu Moshe. And I'm aligning myself. Hashem, you told Moshe. Moshe told us. So I'm doing it with the intentions of Moshe, with the intentions of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? That's what they were nervous about. They wanted to make sure that they could pull that out. Pull that off. Aval ha-kosev ha-yid shelo chasru klom me'akavanos. And this pasuk testifies, Kein asu, they did it. They pulled it off. Right? They pulled it off with this kavana. They pulled it off. They were not lacking anything in the kavana. Rakein asu, v'prat ha-kavanos yichudim b'lig yiron. All the kavanos and all the yichudim without anything lacking. They were able to pull it off. Now, let's ask an honest kasha. So you tell me they did it, l'shem shemayim, they did it, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. And you told me, sof kein asu, they achieved the goal. But how does that work? Why am I allowed to just say, Hashem, I don't actually know what I'm doing, but you should consider it as if I knew what I was doing. And Hashem's like, all right, good, full credit. Why? That doesn't seem fair. No? Like, I'm admitting I don't really know, but I want to know, so. You have to really want to know, though. You have to really daven Hashem. I wish I knew all the kavanas. I'm just the beginning of my journey. I have a lifetime to try to learn more. But I really want to know. I really do care. And if I really do care, then Hashem will treat it as if I really achieved it. Go back, turn back the page to the bottom paragraph now. Vateichel kol avodas v'yasu b'nei Yisrael. It's the beginning of that same pasuk. What does it mean? Vateichel kol avodas v'chulu. Again, lamed tes lamed beis is the pasuk, and the pasuk says vateichel, right? Vayechulu hashemayim. Vateichel. What does vateichel mean? They completed. Vateichel kol avodas mishkan. All the work of the mishkan was completed. And then the pasuk again concludes vayasu b'nei Yisrael, as Hashem commanded, kein asu. What does it mean? Why does it say that it was completed and then it says, and then they did everything they were told to do? So, look what he writes. It's very, very beautiful. He writes, Eini yodeya mamalam deinu kol apasuk. Again, how many times are you going to tell me? They did it, they did it, they did it, they did it like Hashem said, they did it like Hashem said. What's this pasuk telling us? This is a beautiful Torah, guys. Look at this. Venira demalam deinu das. Eich haba litar misayen oso. This pasuk is coming to teach us the Talmudic principle of haba l'tahir, a person who wants to live a life of purity, misayayin oso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him to achieve that goal. That's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet, I believe. Haba l'tahir, one who wants to live a life of holiness, Hashem helps him. But you have to want it first. V'chol ma sha'tshuka misrabe ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah. The more that a person's tshuka means desire and longing, the more you want it, you will never, I've told you guys this many times, I'll say it again, you'll never finish Shas passively. It's not just going to happen. You'll never finish one Masechta passively. You'll never finish one Daf Gemara passively. Okay? You'll never get good at davening if you don't say, I really want to be a good davener, and really mean that. You'll never be able to live a life of Kedusha and Tara, right, when you say, I feel bad that I do certain things that I know I shouldn't do, right? but you don't really care about living a holy life. It's not going to happen on its own. Haba l'tahir, if a person really wants Tara, then Hashem says, okay, I'll help you. But you have to want it. So the more a person has a tshuka to achieve, to do, Hashem yisbarach lemish'an lo ligmur ha-mitzvah. Hashem becomes what? A support for you. Hashem is a mish'an. Hashem is a support. Right? Mishanu b'vtach letzadikim. Hashem is a support. Hashem will carry you. He'll help you to achieve the goal, to finish the mitzvah. But you have to want it first. And even hagam shehu kim'at min hanimna. And even if what? It's nearly impossible. Kim'at min hanimna. It seems like it's a unconquerable, you know, it's an overwhelming task. You look back at certain tzaddikim and you're like, their lives don't add up. Look at these three tzaddikim on our window. Lubavitch Rebbe, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, yeah, Rav Kook, Piazatzin Rebbe. Look at these tzaddikim. You think about what they accomplished in their lifetime, it doesn't add up. Pasha doesn't add up. The amount that Lubavitch Rebbe did in his lifetime, it doesn't add up to the number of years that he lived. Ma'at min hanimna, it's not possible. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, how could one person know so much Torah? How is that possible? Rav Kook, when he was a young man in Volozhin, you know, hundreds of pages of Gemara he used to learn on a daily basis, like crazy numbers. They say wild things about how many pages, how many mesechtos he would finish like a day. Wild, it's not possible. It doesn't add up. But when a person really wants it, they're able to achieve things that are what? That are not possible. You know why? Because Hashem helps them. Umashmi'anu zeh ha-pasuk, demolechas ha-mishkan, haya lemin ha-nimna, lemin anoshi. Building a mishkan for Hashem, it's impossible for a human being, lemin anoshi, for basar v'dam, for flesh and blood, for a person, shetas el yado. I'm going to build the space for God in this world. And I'm going to do it in a way that it's precisely calibrated and aligned with the mishkan shomal, with the base of mikdash above. What, are you crazy? How's that possible? And when you read the Midrash and you study the Sugya of the Mishkan deeply, you find out that what? That many of the things of the Mishkan actually didn't add up at all. It was all miraculous. Like the cross beam, the central beam. You know how long it was? 32 amos. Imagine, where on earth did they get a 32 amos, 60-foot beam of acacia wood? Where'd they get that? The Medrash is like, well, you know, Yaakov planted it in Mitzrayim. They took it out when they left Mitzrayim. Uh-huh. And they were able to, and it was like the right measure, and it didn't crack. And when they were able to weave together the curtains of the Mishkan, the design could be seen on both sides. It wasn't like a front or a back. Both sides were, and that the Arun didn't take up any space in the Kodesh Kadashim. There are a lot of things in the Mishkan that don't add up. It doesn't, it's all Bederach Nes. So how did we put it together? How did we put this? So Hashem, you put it together. How did we, Basar V'dam, how did human beings put that together? The answer is, he says, two lines at the bottom, Raklios godel tshukosav l'kayim ratzon yotzom. When a person has a burning desire, an awesome desire, when a person has a tshuka to fulfill the ratzon of his creator, asu mashahu b'chukam v'kocham, and you do whatever you can, you use the maximum ability that you have. When you're Bas Paro, to use even an example of a Jew who's just becoming a Jew, Bas Paro was just converting, Chazal says. She went down to the water to convert. She sees baby Moshe floating out in that basket. And like Chazal say, she stretched out her hand, and what happened? Her hand stretched all the way out. Okay? I know you can learn that as a lesson, not as something literal. Let's imagine literally her hand stretched out. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, so why did she put her hand out at all? If Moshe Rabbeinu's basket's floating 20 feet, why would she put her hand out like this? Because if you want Hashem to help you go the rest of the way, you got to do as much as you can. So she's standing there on the edge of the water, and she's reaching as much as she can. All of a sudden, Hashem says, she really wants to save that baby. So I'll make the impossible possible. I'll make the impossible possible because this person really wants. There's a story with the brother of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Rav Zalman of Volozhin. A little Hebrew biography called Toldos Adam. Rav Zalman of Volozhin was a very halig and deep person. A student of the Vilna Gaon. So the story goes like this. The story goes that one time he needed to get to a certain sefer on the bookcase. The problem was they were doing, I don't know, shiputzim in the base medrash that day. You know, they were fixing things up. So imagine there was like a huge wall of bookcases on that wall and a huge wall of bookcases on this wall, right? And they were fixing up, they were painting the wall, let's say, on that wall. So they took the bookcases from that wall and they moved them to the other side of the room. They put them in front of the bookcases over here. Well, the sefer that Rav Zalman of Elazhin wanted that day was the back bookcase. It was blocked. It was totally blocked by the front bookcases. Right? Like imagine like a bottom shelf over there. He's got these huge wall of bookcases blocking the sefer he wants to get to. So Zalman of Elazhin said, "Like I need that Torah. I need to look something up." And there was no one else around to like help him. It takes like 10 guys to move this heavy bookcase. So the story goes, Zalman of Elazhin started pacing back and forth in front of the bookcase like this, marching back and forth in front of the bookcase, and he kept saying over and over again the Rashi. Right? The pasuk says, "Lo v'shamayim." The Torah is not in Shemayim. What does Rashi say? But even if the Torah was in Shemayim, we'd have to what? We'd have to build a rocket ship to go get it. We'd have to make ladders to climb up and get it. It's so precious to us that no matter how hard it is, Lo me'ever liyam. Hashem didn't put Torah on the other side of the ocean. But if it was, we'd have to have the courage to what? And the strength and the drive to swim across the ocean to get it. So Zalman of Elazhin walks back and forth in front of the bookcase. Lo v'shamayim, lo v'shamayim. But if it wasn't the Shemayim, we'd have to find a way to get it. He wants to get the safer on the bottom. Lo v'shamayim, lo v'shamayim. He's going back and forth. He's like, pumping himself up. He runs over to the bookcase. He picks up, like the Hulk, picks up the bookcase, slams it down on the other side. Right? There's like one guy sitting in the back of the register, just like, looks up. He's like, he got the safer. You know why? Because when you really wanted the Kaddish Baruch Hu, he did not have the natural strength to lift up that bookcase. But when a person has a burning desire to do something big, Hashem helps you to be bigger than naturally possible. Rav Zalman of Elazhin, Rav Chaim Velazhner's brother, the Nefesh HaChaim's brother. So when a person has a tshuka, and he does everything that he can, and he says, Rabban Shalom, I've done my part, now you got to take it the rest of the way, they have minu ba Hashem, turning the page, and he believes in Hashem, ubitchu b'yeshuaso, and he trusts wholeheartedly that Hashem is going to finish the job for him, that he's doing his part. Al yedezet nigmara hasia. You know what? He's able to do unbelievable things. He can build a mishkan for Hashem. However, the mishkan was not realistic to build. And yet we did it. Kedasu, the pasuk says. They pulled it off. How is that possible? Says the Rebbe, because they had a burning desire to do so. Where is that hinted to in the pasuk? Says our Rebbe, Vatechal kol avodas v'chulu. Again, what's the pashup shot? Vatechal kol avodas ha-mishkan. Techal means, again, like vayechulu. They completed the avoda of the mishkan. That's the pashup shot. But says our Rebbe, you know what else the word vatechal means? Vatechal milashon kol sanafshi. Kol sanafshi. My what? My soul is? Kolsa? Is yearning, is longing, a tshuka, a burning desire. David HaMelech says, "My soul is so much longing for your salvation, Hashem." So, vateichal kol avodas haMishkan. You want to know how they pulled off the Mishkan? How could it be? How did they pull this off? Vateichal, because they had this awesome yearning for Hashem, and to achieve this task. And therefore, Kain Asu, when you want it that badly, you know what? Kain Asu, says the Pasuk. You're able to pull it off. Shekol avodas ha-mishkan ha-yi b'tshuka rabba. The whole project of the Mishkan was done with such zeal and drive and passion. Al yedei kach v'yasu b'nei Yisrael kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, Kain Asu. It's with that intention that a person is able to do awesome things. Mamish, awesome things. Okay? Beautiful piece.
Is that possible?
Yeah, kol sanafshi.
No, I'm saying,
what?
With that word included,
no, but v'teichal is our pasuk. Our pasuk is v'teichal kol avodas haMishkan. So he's saying v'teichal, the pasuk shah, means it was completed. But based on this other understanding of kaloi sanefesh, right? Kol sanafshi means the burning desire, the longing of the soul. V'teichal kol avodas haMishkan. They achieve. How do they do the avodah of the Mishkan? The answer is v'teichal. Vatechal, but they wanted it. They really, really wanted it. Right? Vatechal, they really wanted it. Okay? All right, let's do one more. We'll do one more. Maybe one and a half, but we'll see what we have time for. Okay, look at the left column. V'yirkasu aschayshin. This is Perek Lamites, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Pasuk says, V'yirkasu aschachoshen mitabosav el tabois ha'efod. V'yirkasu means they linked, they connected. V'yirkasu aschachoshen, they attached, or they linked, they connected the breastplate, mitabosav, by its rings, el tabos ha'efod, to the ephod. What was the ephod? What was the Kohen Gadol's ephod? Choshen is the breastplate. What's the ephod?
The head.
Oh. What's the ephod? The ephod was the apron. Right? It's like an apron. It had shoulder straps. And then they would attach to the shoulder straps on the top and the bottom. They attach the breastplate. Yeah? Two pieces. It was the apron. And then there was... And the shoulders were the stones, right? But the breastplate also had the stones, right? With two stones on the shoulders as well. Okay, good. So again, they connected the breastplate, right? By yirkusu asachoshen mitabosav, they connected the choshen by its tabos, by its rings, el tabos ha'efod, to the connecting rings of the ephod. B'psil techeles, right? They connected it with what? With psil techeles. Liyos with a tcheles cord, liyos al cheshev ha'efod, v'lo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod. They attached it in such a way that the ephod and the choshen would not dislodge from each other. They had to be connected. They should always be bound to each other. Kasher tiva Hashem es Moshe. Why was it so important to attach the choshen to the ephod? And why does the Torah emphasize, right? V'lo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod. The choshen should not become yizach, should not become dislodged from the ephod. Okay, so let's try this piece. It's a little bit hard, but part of it is a lot of bit easy and really important. A little bit of it's a little bit hard. Let's see. Let's try. Okay. The pasuk says that what? That we should attach it for what purpose? Lihiyos al cheshev ha'ephod. So that it should be, so that the choshen should lie upon the cheshev ha'ephod. It translates here on the belt of the ephod. That they should be connected. We'll see what he does with the word cheshev. Sounds like machshava. We'll see what he does with it. Okay, but it's very important that they stay touching, that they stay connected. What's the pshat? So first of all, he says the word lihiyos, so that it should be, is spelled chaser vav, without the letter vav. All right, let's see what we can do with that. It is a funny spelling. Lamed hey yud tough. Where's the vav? Again, the word's pronounced lios. It has a cholam. It has a dot. Right, but what kind of funny spelling is that? Nearly, dihine choshen ve'efod mevuar b'zohar. It says in the Zohar that the choshen and the ephod is a remez le zachar unakeva. This bond between the choshen and the ephod, this inseparable bond of choshen and ephod, lo yizach ha-choshen me'al ephod, represents a certain, almost a marriage of choshen and ephod. It alludes to what? To the attachment of zachar and nekeva. Right? The balancing of husband and wife, of male and female energies in the world. Al-kein mechuyavin lios mechubarim. They have to always be attached. My wife is currently in Eretz Yisrael. I am currently in Washington Heights, New York. And we are currently attached to each other. What do you mean? What do you mean? Because there's a bond. There's a commitment. There's a bond. Right? You don't have to be touching something to be attached. Here at the Choshen Eifod, we're mamish touching. Right? But there's a bond of connection that has to always exist. If there's a real proper yichud between Zachar and the Keva, it's not just when you get married in the yichud room. That's when we're together alone. We have to always be together alone. Ah, but I'm with other people and we're on the other sides of the world. But we're still together alone. That's how it's supposed to be. Al-kein mechuyavin lios mechubarin. Therefore, they need to be connected. V'lo yizach ha-choshen mi'al ha-efod. Choshen and ephod have to be best of friends. They have to always be together. Now, listen to this. This is the famous teaching. A very, very famous teaching. Our Rebbe quotes it in other places as well. The Bnei Yisachar, in his writings on Chodesh Tammuz, when he talks about the 3 weeks, he quotes this famous Gemara. Okay? It's a very famous teaching from the Maggid of Mezrich. V'nei shalu l'kadosh Hashem. They asked the Holy One, who? Moreinu Harav, Dalibes, Dovber, Magid Mezrich. Right? Rav Dovber, the student of the Baal Shem Tov. They asked the Magid of Mezrich, Zatzal, Zechetzad V'Kadosh Racha. What does the Gemara mean? Al Ma Sha'amru Chazal. The Gemara says in Mesechas Yoima, Nun Dalet Amid Beis, Shebe'eis HaCharban, at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Matzu HaOivim Es HaKruvim, they found, when the enemies went in, to steal, to take the precious Kalim, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You know what they found? They found the Kruvim were locked in each other's arms. The Kruvim were holding each other. Kruvim on top of the Aron were mamish holding each other. The problem is, says the Magid of Mezrich, the question that was asked of him was, hold on a second. We know how the Kruvim behave. The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, let's keep reading, when the Jewish people, what? Do the will of Hashem, then the Kruvim face each other. When the Jewish people don't do the Ratzon Hashem, what happens to the Kruvim on top of the Aron? They turn away from each other. When we're not good, HaKruvim Hoifchim Peneim Zemizeh. The Kruvim turn away from each other. That's the Gemara in Bava Basra. Interesting. Those two Kruvim on top of the Aron. They face each other in good times. When we're not faithful to Hashem, they turn away from each other. So how could it be, what's the kasha? The Rishonim asked the kasha even. How could it be that at the moment of what? Of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim are embracing each other? They should be standing on opposite sides of the room with their arms folded, angry at each other. How could it be? This is the moment the Kruvim are in each other's embrace? V'omar Marinu Harav Dovber, said the Heilig Magid. Shehu, ki chayiv adam lifkod v'chulu b'sha sheyotze l'derach. The Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Daf Samach Beis that a man is obligated to be with his wife before he goes on a trip, before he hits the road. Spend time together. If you're not going to be together, right? One of the, man's going on a business trip. He's going to be out of town for the next couple of days. Right? So it's very important that he spends time with his wife. Right? The Gemara is talking really in an intimate setting, right? But really just spending time together, making sure that what? That you remind yourself where you're connected before you're apart. So that when you're apart, you'll still be connected. So says the Magid of Mezrich, we're about to have Chorban Beis HaMikdash. We're about to go into a galus. But our marriage with Hashem is not over. We're about to be apart for a really long time, in a certain sense. And therefore, before we part ways, let's hold each other one last time. Let's be in each other's embrace one last time, so that hopefully that can carry us for the next 2,000 years till we have a Beis HaMikdash again. Al kein ha-neshama ha-yoyser me'ula, ha-inu nishmas Mashiach nolda b'Tisha B'Av. An amazing medrash. You've heard this medrash before. Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. How could Mashiach be born on Tisha B'Av? How at such a time of Chorban could there be such a what? There could be such a closeness, a yichud. But that's this Gemara. At a time of separation, Hashem was saying to us, yes, we need to separate because there are problems and it's going to take time to rebuild. Right? But we have to remember that we're in this together. We are truly, Hashem, you're with us forever and we're with you forever. We can't really separate. Let's remind ourselves as we go into Galus. So the soul of Mashiach was created on Tisha B'Av means Shehu mehayichud ha-me'ula va'ava yesera be'ez hayetziah laderach. It's representative of what? Of the most intense love and the highest form of connectivity that exists before you part ways. That's a Gevaldic teacher. That part you need to know. That's a famous teacher. How could it be the Kruvim were hugging at the time of separation? No, it's Dafka. It's Dafka, the reminder that as we're about to separate, we want to be close one last time. Vine kvar yadato. So now, let's get into the slightly harder, more Kabbalistic part of the piece. Vine kvar yadato, we already know that zoin, that zachar unakeva merumazim bevav hei. Zachar and nekeva are alluded to in the letter vav and hei. Okay? In our sviros chart over here, the name of Hashem, yod kei vav kei, chachma is yod, bina is hei, and this whole middle section, these six, chesed, gvura, tferes, netzach, hod, yesod, is all vav. Right? Six spheros representing the letter vav. Yesod
in the body parts, right? Right arm, left arm, torso, right leg, left leg, and so does bris milah.
Very masculine.
Right? Sort of the culmination of all of these kochos, right? Expressing itself, again corresponding to the bris milah, the masculine energy to produce a child. Malchus is the feminine quality that receives from Yesod. In other words, all of this energy is collecting in Yesod, and then Yesod is mashpia, that energy into Malchus. Zachar gives over to Nekeva. A man gives over his seed to fertilize the woman's egg, and a child can be created that way. Okay? So the final hey of Hashem's name is Malchus. So when he says male and female represent vav and hey, what he means is that male and female in the corresponding letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei are Zachar and Nekeva. Okay. So let's read inside. Let's see if we can chop it. Havav huze'er hey nukva shchinta kadisha. Again, that's just a fancy way of saying vav is everything we just said. Yesod. Right? The letter vav. And then hey, the final hey of Hashem's name is called nukva. It's the feminine quality. It's malchus, right? It's shchinta kadisha. It's the shchina in this world. Okay, fine. We don't have to chop everything you said. Let's keep going for a second. V'yinei tevas lihiyos yesh bo vav hay. The word lihiyot has a vav and a hay in it. Okay? What are the remaining letters if you take out the vav and the hay? And let's just, Rebbe's saying deep things. Let's just play along. Let's try to understand. If you take out the vav and the hay of the word lihiyos, you're left with a tough lamed yud. You're left with a gematria of 440, which he says is gematria chesed din verachanan. Okay. Hein heima hagimel hakavin hanimshachim mivav lehe. He says this represents the three kavin, literally lines, that go from vav te. It's not as abstract as it sounds because we have a beautiful chart right here. You have one kav, you have a middle kav, and you have a left kav, right? So you have right side energy, middle energy, and left side energy. Chesed, din, rachamim, all coming together through vav into hay. That's what he's saying. The three kavim are coming together to be nimshach from vav to hay. Now, in our pasuk, what's the pasuk? It says, our Rebbe asked, it says lihiyos without the vav. Yeah, and we have a kasha.
Yeah, wait, can you start?
Yeah, sure.
Again, we're saying yud and hey and vav and hey. Right? This is vav because it takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 zeros and combines them all and brings them down into the nekeva, the receiving malchus, which is on the bottom. Right? The Zohar says malchus has nothing of its own; it just receives. It's like the moon. The moon is just reflecting the light of the sun. It doesn't have its own light. Okay. Now, again, in our Sirius chart, we have a right column, we have a middle column, we have a left column. The right side is the side that's rooted in Chesed. The left side is rooted in Midas Adin, or Gvura. And the middle side is the balance, what we call Rachem.
So the Rebbe is saying, right, Vav is sort of the combination of Chesed, Din, Rachem,
because it takes from some of the right, and some of the middle, and some of the left, and it pulls them all together into Yesod, and then it brings them down into Malchus.
That's what he's saying. But our word, lihios, in our pasuk, doesn't have the vav. So, therefore what? Right? In our pasuk, that was the opening question. He said it's spelled lihios without a vav. So what does that mean? Let's just see if we can chap. V'yinei nichtav chaser vav. In our pasuk, we don't have the vav. Lahoros, to teach what? You would think that's terrible. No vav, no connection, right? No vav, no masculine energy connecting with the female energy. Lahoros digam be'ez histalkos havav. Yismashe chayichud, ki chayiv adam lifkod v'chulu. Chevra, who's the vav, who's the hay in our marriage to Hashem? Are we the vav or we're the hay? We're the hay. Hashem is mashpia tas. Hashem gives us His Torah. We receive. Rabbanu Shalom, thank you for anything you've given me. Right? When the vav goes missing, what does that mean? What does that sound like? The man's going on a business trip. Right? Hashem is saying, l'hitro'ot. See you around. We used to have a nice little bias together. We lived together in Beis HaMikdash. I'm out of here. Right? The vav is missing. So what's going to be with this marriage? What's going to happen if the vav goes away? Right? No, you have to realize that even when the vav goes away, if a before he leaves on the trip, the Kruvim are hugging. In other words, the Vav stays connected. Can't get through the door. The Vav stays connected while it's away, right? The Vav stays connected while it's away because of that bond that exists. Again, it's such an important teaching. He's explaining it very Kabbalistically, but it's also very important just on a Pasha level. That the people who I'm really attached to, I have to be attached to them, whether I'm physically with them or whether I'm not with them. Right? So when I'm in their presence or I'm not in their presence, I maintain that connection. So now we understand when the Pasuk says what? Lihiyos al cheshev ha'efod. Lihiyos, missing the vav, al cheshev ha'efod. As it introduces the bond between choshen and ephod, breastplate and apron, that lo yizach, they have to always be connected. But you look at the pasuk and you're like, but the missing a vav. You need the vav, hey, that's the whole connection. That's how they connect. No, lios al cheshev ha'efod. Sometimes I'm connected by what? By physically being together with someone. Sometimes I'm what? I'm apart from that person, but b'machshav ha'cheshev. I maintain the connection in my mind. Ki mishtokekes al v'chulu, b'sha v'chulu, v'chayev lifgod v'chulu. Because I long for that time of reconnecting, and I remember the time in the past when we were physically connected, when I was in my lover's embrace, when the Kruvim were holding each other close, right, when they were still hugging each other. Shetishar ha'machshava dvuka kechoysam al halev. And I'm able to take that with me. I'm able to carry that with me. Right? I'm able to wherever I go, I carry that with me. And there's a little kid's book, very sweet kid's book called The Kissing Hand. Anyone know that book? I know The Kissing Hand. It's about this little creature. I don't remember what it was. A raccoon, I think. It was a raccoon. This little raccoon is going off to school for the first time. He's very nervous to leave his mommy. Right? So she says, "Don't worry, I'll always be with you. Even when we're apart, I'll still be with you." And she takes his hand and she kisses his hand. And she says that whenever you want to feel that mommy's close to you, so just take the kiss that I put in your hand, I keep it in your hand, and you can always like put it on, you know, you can always like touch it to your cheek. You can always, right? That's Lahavza, that's this Gemara. Hashem said, I'm going to give you one last hug before we go our separate ways, but don't forget that hug. Don't ever forget, and that in Gullis, don't ever forget that hug. We will be in each other's embrace once again. The Vav is going on a trip. The Melech is leaving, the Malka, for a little bit. Malchus is somewhat left on its own, right? Esther and Mordechai are separated from each other, but they're not separated for a second. And that machshava, that reminder, that awareness of that bond is kechosem al halev, is like a seal on one's heart. It leaves an imprint in such a way. Vizeo omru, let's finish the piece, last two lines. Vizeo omru, v'lo yizach b'shum pam. And that's what it means. On the one hand, the pasuk, if you read the pasuk deeply, it's contradictory. On the one hand, the vav and the hay are separated in the pasuk. The vav is missing in the pasuk. On the other hand, it says, but never separate the choshen and the ephod, which is the male and the female energy. So how could that be? Are we together or not together? The answer is you have to learn how to be together when you're not together. That's a very important, that's such an important teaching in life. To be somewhere or to be with someone, to be connected, even when on a certain superficial level you're not connected. Like we said yesterday. No? Like we were discussing yesterday. Yeah? Joel, where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles? No, you're not from Los Angeles. Yosef, where are you from?
Israel.
Yeah, that's right. You're from Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh. You're from Yerushalayim. I know. I'm just asking you. You're from, right? What do you mean? I'm in Eretz Yisrael right now? No, I'm in Washington Heights right now. No, I'm in Eretz Yisrael right now. In Machshava. In my heart, I'm always in Eretz Yisrael. My goof for the moment is on a journey. Hopefully journeying in the right direction back to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, he concludes the piece, he says, Choshen is Gematria Mashiach. Choshen is 358, right? Is Mashiach. Bin v'hizbonein. Think about it, calculate it. Shehu b'gematria, and this is also a famous gematria, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. Is Gematria Mashiach. You understand what that Torah means? What was, what is, what will forever be. In a certain sense, it's almost like these three columns of the seals. The right side, the middle side, right? Where the journey began, where the journey is now, where the journey is going to get to. At each stage, Hashem was the king, Hashem is the king, Hashem will forever be the king.
And then he writes, because he's so sensitive, our Rebbe, he ends the piece, Hashem hatov yichaper ba'adenu. And Hashem should have mercy on us. I hope I'm not saying something that's too delicate. And I hope I'm saying something true. And I hope that Hashem will bring us back. I hope that my desire to be connected to Hashem, even when Hashem is in hiding in a period of Hester Panim, when Achashverosh hands over his king to Haman, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're never going to be able to get back together with our beloved. Right? And it's not true. It's really not true. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. The Choshen is Gematria Mashiach. The Choshen and the Eifer are always connected. And even if the Vav is missing, or it appears to be concealed for a period of time, the Vav and the Hey will get back together. And there'll be a Yichud. But learning how to maintain a Yichud of connection, even in the times of separation, is Mamash a deep Yisod. Yeah. Which one?
How much is it?
Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. It's 358. No, nothing funny. No, nothing funny. No. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. Right? It's 358. Yeah. Mashiach. Right? Choshen. Choshen is the same letters as Nachash. Nachash got us into the mess to begin with. Mashiach gets us out of the mess at the end. Right? We go. Our journey begins with the Nachash, unfortunately, but it ends with Mashiach. It ends with Mashiach. But Hashem, to hang on throughout the journey, you have to be a person who can declare at each stage, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. Tzadikim even say, why is it first Hashem Melech? Hashem is king, Hashem was king, Hashem will be king. It's a funny order. It should go in order. Hashem was king. Hashem is king. Hashem will be king. Right? Past, present, and future. The answer is, because your avoda starts with what? Hashem Melech. Our job starts with where I am right now. Hashem Melech. In this moment, Hashem is the king. Then I say, and he was the king, and he will ever be the king. But we don't start with someone else's Hashem was the king in the past. Start with where you're holding. Hashem is king. Declare. Hashem Melech. That's the first step. Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. Connection is always there, even if it's sometimes concealed from us. Okay, so we should be Zocha. We should be Zocha to see and to feel Hashem's love for us. And it should be clear. It should be clearly displayed before our eyes. The love that Hashem has for his kala, for us.